Historian Margaret Humphreys teaches at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina. She studies the history of disease. Humphreys says most Americans today don't realize that just a few generations ago, malaria was a big problem in the United States.
When my grandmother was told she was moving to East Tennessee from Minnesota in 1938, she was afraid for her children that they were going to a place where they would get sick. And I asked my students at Duke, you know, did any of you consider whether leaving Chicago was going to, or New Jersey was going to take you to a place that was going to make you sick? And they all look at me with bewilderment. It used to be a marker of the South.
English colonists brought malaria to Jamestown, Virginia in 1607. By fleeing the old world for the new, they unwittingly carried the disease with them. It then spread across the continent. During the Civil War, malaria killed thousands of soldiers, both in the Union and Confederate armies. Malaria was especially prevalent in the Mississippi Valley. For thousands of years, no one knew what malaria was or how it spread. The Romans thought the disease was carried by fumes emanating from swamps. The name malaria comes from the Italian for bad air. It wasn't until the late 1890s that scientists learned that a parasite causes the disease and that certain mosquitoes transmit the parasite from person to person. Bill Collins is a malaria expert with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. The CDC was founded in 1946 specifically to help control malaria. Today, the CDC has one of the few labs in the world that keeps mosquitoes infected with all four strains of human malaria. By the turn of the 20th century, malaria had begun to disappear from many parts of the United States. CDC entomologist Bob Wirtz says as America became more industrialized, living conditions improved.
Malaria is really a disease of poverty. When you develop the infrastructure and the capabilities, people move into screened houses or air conditioning, clean up the environment, get rid of the breeding sites, then mosquito populations decrease and transmission is reduced.
But malaria continued to plague the southeastern United States long after the disease vanished elsewhere. Mosquitoes were simply more abundant in the South, and the deep poverty there meant sharecroppers' cabins didn't evolve into the tight, mosquito-proof houses that were being built in other parts of the country. So in the late 1940s, the U.S. government launched a malaria eradication program focused on the South. National, state, and local officials drained swamps and wiped out other mosquito breeding grounds. They also sprayed the insecticide DDT inside every southern home. Historian Margaret Humphreys says most people welcomed the spraying of DDT. Humphreys says people who may have had some initial reservations about the campaign were won over after hearing their neighbors sing the praises of DDT. And by 1949, just a few years after the eradication campaign started, the United States was declared malaria-free. Malaria still crops up here from time to time, but these sporadic cases are the result of travelers bringing the disease back from overseas. Following the defeat of malaria in the United States, the World Health Organization launched an eradication effort of its own in the 1950s. The goal was to wipe out the disease across the globe through spraying, surveillance, and the distribution of anti-malarial drugs. The plan worked well enough in places with more temperate climates, but problems developed in other parts of the world. Mosquitoes developed resistance to DDT, and little effort was put into fighting malaria in sub-Saharan Africa. Bill Collins says it became too impractical to replicate the U.S. model in the developing world.
DDT is sprayed on walls. Most of the houses in Africa did not have walls. Where are you going to spray? You had no organization to have spray workers go out into the areas to do it. There was just no way to set up a program in these countries to hire spray workers to actually carry out the program.
And in the late 1960s, the WHO conceded defeat. Some have argued that the eradication of malaria from the United States and Europe actually hurt efforts in the developing world because rich nations no longer considered malaria a problem. But that's starting to change. International aid organizations are stepping up distribution of anti-malarial drugs and bed nets to protect against mosquitoes. Scientists worldwide are also working to develop a malaria vaccine. They hope to help the hundreds of millions of people who still fall ill from malaria each year, more than a half a century after the disease became history in the United States.